Please welcome someone around you, to welcome them to church. Say hi, high fives, shake hands. If there are any kids in the room, we can meet with Joe in the back. He'll take you upstairs. Well, good morning, church. If you are new with us, if this is your first time, my name is Vincent. I'm one of the pastors here at Home Church. Pastor Andy, who is our lead pastor, is away today. He is speaking in Kamloops. So if you can remember him in your prayers as he travels, I think he's flying, as he flies back from Kamloops later today, just keep him in your prayers. Now, before we start our sermon, and I just want to take a couple of minutes to do something a little bit different. So if you can just throw the slide on the screen. We had mentioned this a few weeks ago, but we are launching a church app, a way for us to be able to communicate with our congregation, our members. And so we're doing a sneak preview. It's in English only. If you're interested, you can scan it now to download. When you scan it, it'll pop up if you want to download an Apple Store or Android Store. And after installing it, you just have to search up Home Church. Make sure you get the right one because there's lots of home churches around the world. So make sure you install the right one. And the reason why we're sort of doing this, even though it's not 100% ready, is because, you know, when you guys came in, some of you might have received a paper sermon note, but we only print so many. And some of you guys might prefer digital sermon notes. And so our digital sermon notes are actually found in our app now. And so we wanted to give you a sneak preview today in case you need access to our digital sermon notes. If you install it, search up Home Church, it will save it as your default church. And at the bottom, you'll see a tab that says Notes. If you click on it, you'll access our digital fill-in-the-blank sermon notes, which is really cool. But if you miss it, this opportunity, don't worry. We will do a proper rollout in the future. But we thought we'll just do this today. Just as a sneak preview. And if you have feedback, feel free to pass it on to us. So that is that. All right. So I have to admit, I can be a pretty busy person. Aside from being a pastor full-time, as many of you will probably know, I also run a not-for-profit day camp for children, as well as a registered charity for our work in Costa Rica. Now, what some of you guys might not know is that I'm actually also a student. And I heard a chuckle somewhere. I am a student. I actually just finished my graduate level certificate from Summit Pacific College a couple months ago. They clap in the first service, but you guys, it's just a certificate, okay? It's not a degree or anything. So I am graduating in April from that program. After 8 years of doing it. Anyways, just last week, I started my micro certificate at UBC. And so, you know, Mom, wherever you're at, I did it. I'm at UBC. You know, every immigrant parent's dream for their son or daughter to go to UBC. Only 20 years too late, but I did it. I made it. All right? But as you can tell, I keep busy. Right, I keep busy doing different things. And so when it comes to practicing Sabbath, for me, I tend to find rest and renewal doing things that I enjoy doing that I don't normally do day to day. And so, you know, some of the things you might know, one of the things I love doing is I would take solo mission trips. You know, usually when I take a team, it's work. I don't mean to be a bad thing. But I'm a team leader, I do work. But when I do solo, like a solo missions trip, it's I find that restful and renewing for me to see God doing work in other parts of the country. Another thing I do is, again, some of you guys will probably know, I like to go off-grid. I like to go off-roading up in the mountains, spend a couple of days out there, just disconnected from the world. But the reality is, you know, I can't do either of those things regularly, right? Like, I don't like winter camping as much as you see. You know, I have all the gear to do it if I want to do it, but I just don't like winter camping. So there's actually a third thing that I like to do in terms of Sabbath for rest and renewal, And that is actually I like to cook a new dish. All right. I am Chinese, but most of my when I have to cook on my own, it's a lot of Western dishes. And so I usually like to, as part of my Sabbath, find a Chinese dish that I really like, shop for ingredients, figure out how to cook it, chop them up, cook it, and in anticipation of what it looks like and how it might taste like at the end. So last weekend was one of those weekends, all right? And so here I was chopping ingredients, not thinking about work, not thinking about school, just focusing on making this dish. And I just had this fun idea to, I'm going to post a picture of these ingredients on social media with the main ingredient missing, and let's see who can, figure out what I'm trying to make, what Chinese dish I'm trying to make. And so here is that photo that I posted, so if you can show that, on social media. And so if you're not Chinese, let me tell you the ingredients. That's a Chinese sausage, dried shrimp, dried scallop, shiitake mushrooms, and green onion. Now, if you're Chinese, you can only make one of two things with those ingredients, right? And so that's why I left out the main ingredient on purpose, because then it's easy to figure out. So it's 50-50, what I could be making. Any guesses? Anyone? Yeah, okay. So the funny thing is, anyone who guessed on social media got it right, right? Anyone who approached me in person to guess, they got it wrong. Okay, so no, it's not lobako, for those that know what that is. It is lo mai fan, or Chinese sticky rice, all right? And honestly, we can show the next photo. This is what it looks like when it's done. Oh, projector's not that great, but, and honestly, I'm sorry to embarrass you, but my aunt in here somewhere, she makes the best sticky rice, and I was trying to, match her mastery, but, yeah, no, she's really good at it. I'm trying to master it. In fact, I've been preparing this message for, a long time, because I even froze some of it and reheated it this morning, and still smells pretty good. Still tastes pretty good. I have forks and spoons. Anyone want to come and try some? Ron? No? Janice? No? I came prepared. Except I did this in the first service. It has rice stuck in my throat. So I brought water this time. All right. So, anyways, yeah. So I made sticky rice. I made a big batch of it with intention to be generous, with intention to share, pack it up, share with some people. Unfortunately, despite it tasting really good, it didn't turn out exactly how I wanted it to look like. It might look good on photo, but it's pretty, the texture was overcooked, a little bit mushy. It was like a halfway to a risotto. Anyways, so it was too embarrassing for me to share. Except anyone who is joining our college group this afternoon, the Chinese sticky rice is a new batch, okay? It's not the frozen stuff from last week. I made a new batch just for you guys. We're going to have barbecue pork and barbecue duck and chicken, and don't miss the college group this afternoon, 1 o'clock after the service. All right. Anyway, so that was me practicing Sabbath, all right? I found rest and renewal for my soul and spirit by doing something totally different than what I do day to day, and I want to be generous and share it with others. So today I want to start off our message by giving you the beginning, not rather the end, the big ideas for today's message. So if you're following along with our sermon notes, our big idea for today is that Sabbath produces generosity, not laziness. Sabbath produces generosity, not laziness. When you're exhausted, you guard your time, right? There isn't enough time to do everything. You're tired. So you have to guard your time so you don't stretch yourself so thin. When you're exhausted, you ration your energy. You don't want to burn yourself out. You want balance. You want to make sure that you have enough energy to do the things that you want to do. when you're exhausted, you protect yourself, right? You don't want to be taken advantage of. You don't want to have to say yes to everything. You know, you don't want to make regrettable decisions. You protect yourself. But Sabbath confronts that exhaustion by forcing a weekly stop. You see, Sabbath creates margin in our lives. Margin is where generosity grows. Margin is where generosity grows because the reality is you can't give what you don't have. But when people have margin, when people believe they have enough, they will give more freely. And so today we're wrapping up our series on practicing Sabbath, time, talents, and treasures. And over the last 2 weeks, we looked at how Sabbath is not just a day in our lives that we take, but it is a condition of being a follower of Jesus. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to practice Sabbath. But how we practice Sabbath can look different between time, talents, and treasures. And so today we will look at the final of the three treasures. We will look at how this byproduct of practicing Sabbath is being generous with our treasures. And so today's passage is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11. So if you want to tap your way or flip your way to that passage, we do have it on screen, but it is very tiny. I'm not sure if you can really see it. Or it is on your sermon notes too, if you want to follow it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11. And it goes, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you decide in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered gifts to the poor. The righteousness endures forever. Now, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in your thanksgiving to God. All right, so the very first point, as I was found in your sermon notes, is that giving reveals what we believe about God. Okay? Giving reveals what we believe about God. So here we see Paul using this farming analogy, because the reality is a wise farmer would not plant something if they are not expecting something in return, right? A wise farmer wouldn't risk an entire season of growth on something that he knows is going to fail. A wise farmer will only sow generously because they expect to reap generously. So what giving reveals is who we believe is our source for what we have. Sowing sparingly is saying, I need to hold on because I might not have enough. Sowing generously is saying, I need to let go because I know God will take care of me. See, this giving conversation from away from amounts towards faith, right? Because if God is the source, then holding on to your treasures doesn't really make sense, right? If God is our isn't the source, then generosity will feel a little reckless. Last week, Pastor Andy reminded us that everything that we own really belongs to God, right? He owns everything that we have. It says in Psalms 24, verse 1, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. In Deuteronomy, it says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And in James, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So giving reveals whether we trust God or money. Right? Our giving choices show what voice that we believe in. You see, money promises security. Right? When you have money, You know, you're secure. You feel your future secure. You have a home, so it feels you're secure. You have a place to live in that you bought with your own money. You know, money promises control, right? If you have money, you have control of your own life, your own decisions. If you owe money, then in a way, the lender has somewhat control of your life. Money promises independence, right? You don't have to depend on others, someone to take care of you. You don't have to wait for someone to provide for you. But when we trust God, it says in Proverbs chapter 3, to honor the Lord with your wealth, then your barns will be filled. In 1 Timothy, it says, do not put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God. See, the Lord provides things beyond what we can see in front of you. The Lord provides things beyond your 5-year plan, beyond your 10-year plan, putting our trust in God, and he will take care of the things that's beyond what we're thinking now. At this church, I had the opportunity to serve on the church board during my younger days. I was mid-20s, I think. And one of the practices I remember when I was on a board, that which we still do today, for the record, is that as a church, we tithe everything we receive from offerings and tithing, from rental incomes, from grants and donations. We tithe all of that to district office. And so that's how district office is able to do what they do. All the churches will tithe and send them to district office. And then when I was serving as one of the cluster leaders, the Children's and Family Ministry cluster leaders at district office, I also realized at the time that they also tithe on what they receive to national office. And so the POC national office then is able to do what they do because of the district's tithing, the money that they receive. And so I really just thought that's what everyone does. That's the normal thing to do. Until I started working at a larger POC church, and I found out that this church was not tithing to district office. Now I didn't know it was optional. But, you know, it wasn't my business. I just worked there kind of thing. And so I didn't really stick my nose into it. But a few years later, this church hired a new lead pastor. And one of the things that he did was he started having the church tithe what they receive to district office. Now, it was because, he said to the congregation, it was because it's to honor God for what he has provided for the church. And because of this decision, the church saw Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, come into action. Right? It was because this church started honoring the Lord with their budgets. You know, they started receiving more tithes and offerings. You know, God was filling their barn, so to speak. Right? They were able to pay off their mortgage. They were able to expand, to renovate, and they started increasing their outreach activities, their missions activities. And from there, the church numbers grew. From what I last heard, they have now grown 2.5 size from when I left that church when I was on staff there. Now, it wasn't because the church was receiving more money. That's why they grew, right? It wasn't because of the money. It was because they trusted God. They didn't strike up a deal with God. They didn't say, "Oh Lord, if you give us another building extension, we'll give more money to you." It wasn't a deal. Right? It was to honor what the Lord has provided for the church, which then leads to our second point, and that is God wants the heart, not the amount. God wants the heart, not the amount. Now, what Paul writes here really throws out the idea that giving is based on amount, all right? Throws out the idea that giving is a transaction. You know, that kind of view makes it appear like, oh, God just wants our money. God just wants payment. The church just wants our money. No, God is not after that. He's after trust, faith, love. See, when giving is a transaction, it's like saying, I give so that I can receive God's blessing. You know, or like, God, please save my dying family member, and I'll give half my wages to the church. Right? Or like, oh man, pastor keeps talking about tithing, fine, I'll give, kind of thing, right? No, that view is very much what Paul is saying here, that it's not. Okay, God is looking at the heart when you give. God is looking at the reason why you're giving. Cheerful giving is evidence of faith and trust, not obligation. Now, God has always prioritized a heart over giving. And this is not a New Testament idea. All right, God always cared about our heart first. We see it in 1 Samuel chapter 16 when he says, or when Samuel says, the Lord does not look at the things, sorry, not Samuel. The Lord said this. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. The Lord looks at the heart. Or in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flow from it. I am reminded of a story, Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and 42. And some of you guys, if you guys have been in church long enough, will know, will be very familiar with the story. And this is when Jesus was singing at the temple, and he happened to be watching people give their offering at the temple, right? And it says in scripture that Jesus was saw, and I'm very interested to see what actually looks like, if it's actually literally, but you know, he was seeing rich people throw their money, you know, into the offering. And then this one widow comes along, this poor widow, and he drops two copper coins into the offering. At that time, all the disciples were like doing their own thing in the temple. And so because this is so important, Jesus called all the disciples together, hey, you know, come to me, and pointed this out because he wanted them to learn this. And that is that the rich people were giving out of their excess, while the widow gave from what she needed. Aside from the church, I also give regularly to other organizations. You know, as a spirit leads, you know, most of them are monthly supports. Now, I don't really keep track of how much I give in a year, but I know it's more than 10% because I tithe to the church and I give offerings above and beyond to other organizations. But I also know it's a fairly big chunk of money because of how much I get back in tax return, all right? And so ever since I started to work, I started to give. And it wasn't like I was making a lot of money. You know, I was working as a student or my early careers, but it still didn't really hit me how much I was giving until one day I got a letter from CRA, all right? I got a letter from CRA. They wanted to do an audit on me, and they are asking me for proof of 3 years' worth of donations. In a way, they're saying they didn't believe I actually gave that much away. Now, that much away at that age, at that time. Now, it hasn't stopped me from my usual giving habits. And for the record, I did clear my CRA audit. And ever since then, they have not sent me another letter questioning my donations. But, you know, I've been working in a nonprofit charity or church world since I entered the workforce. You know, salary is not great. But I always had enough, you know, and I didn't have excess. I was giving from what I needed. And so, you know, I did have a few tough financial years, but God had always provided, making sure, like the previous verse says, you know, my little barn was full, you know. In fact, it wasn't until like 5 years ago that I finally paid my first income tax to the government because I finally ran out of credits to carry over. Now, I share this story not just as an encouragement to everyone, but as proof, especially to the younger people sitting in this room, that generosity has no minimum age, that generosity has no minimum amount. And so I encourage you to start giving when you're younger. Start being generous at a young age, because give God your heart and watch how he will take care of you. As it says in verse 8 in today's passage, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God wants the heart, not the amount. The last point is this, that God supplies the seeds and the bread. Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply increase the store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 10. And this verse helps us reframe how we see treasures. right? Bread is what you need. Seed is what God gives you to steward. So what that is saying here is God supplies you with treasures for you to steward well for the kingdom of God, while he supplies you the bread that you need to live on. And when you do that, as this verse says, God will keep supplying and increasing those treasures, enlarging the impact that you will make for the kingdom of God. In the four Gospels, there's a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Again, if you have been going to church for a while, you will know this story very well. You know, and so Jesus was preaching to the crowds of at least 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And so later in the afternoon, the 12 disciples, his 12 disciples went up to him and said, "Hey, Jesus, we need to send them off, right? They need to go get food. They need to find lodging." And Jesus said to him, "Well, why don't you do it yourself?" You know, the disciple says, "Well, all we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go buy food for this entire crowd." But Jesus then told them, you know, "Let's just sit them in groups of 50. And Jesus will pray, break bread and the fish, and fed all these people. And at the end of the day, they had 12 baskets of leftovers." You see, in this story, the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish represents the bread that is mentioned in verse 10 of today's passage, right? It's food that these people needed to eat to live on. And so God had provided this bread. But at the same time, Jesus saw the same 5 loaves and two fish as seed in verse 10. Seed which God had given to them to steward well and be able to feed all these people. Bread reminds us that God cares about our daily needs. Bread is not a luxury, it's survival. Trusting God doesn't mean neglecting the basic needs. Being generous does not mean neglecting legitimate needs. But bread represents God taking care of us. As it says in Matthew 6:11, "Give us today our daily bread." Or in Exodus, you guys know the story of Exodus, of Israel leaving Egypt and wandering the desert. God gave them manna for the day, right? Manna, and he told the people, "Only collect enough manna for that day. Not surplus. If they collect anything more, it'll go spoils." Right? God gives us what we need for that day. Then the seed, for those that are following along in your sermon notes, the seed reminds us that God invites us into participation. Right? Seed is not your consumption. It's not for consumption. It's for sowing. God entrusting some resources for us not to keep, but to steward well and release it. We see in Genesis chapter 12 when Abraham received God's blessing. And what's that blessing for? It says in Scripture, he received God's blessing to be a blessing to others. It wasn't meant for him to keep, right? It's for him to bless others. God supplies both so we don't have to hoard. God supplies both seed and bread so we don't have to hoard. Because hoarding assumes God will stop providing. Trust assumes that he won't stop providing. Not everything you have is meant for consumption. Some of it is meant to be trusted back to God. If we look at this through the lens of Sabbath, you know, bread is for present rest, and seed is for future work. And when done with care, God will increase your work you do for your kingdom. If we go back to Pastor Annie's 80-10-10 principle that he shared with us last week, he's been using it throughout this whole entire series, right? 80% is for your daily expenses. That's your bread in this context, right? The 80% is for daily needs. That's your bread. That's what you need to live on. That 10% that you give to God, that's the seed, you know, that so that the church collectively can continue the work and expand the work of God when we give the seed back to him. And then that last 10% that's supposed to go into savings, that's your choice, whether it be for bread or seed, whether you need that extra little supply or you want to be a little bit more generous, that's what that 10% saving is for, however the Spirit leads you. But the point is, when you look at the treasures that you have, whether it be money or assets or other resources, you know, have you considered what is bread and what is seed? What do you need to live day by day? And what is to be stewarded well for God? Sabbath doesn't make us passive. It makes us free. Free from anxiety, free from constant striving to be perfect or to do more, free from pressure, free to give joyfully instead of out of obligation. No, like I said earlier, Sabbath creates margin in our lives. It creates space for us to be generous. I know all 3 points today seem to be all around money. That's simply because we're talking about treasures in this series. But, you know, margin we gain from Sabbath also frees us to be generous with our time. Time spent with people. Time to build relationships. Time to build community. Time for God. You know, Sabbath creates margin for us to be free, to be generous with our talents. Talents to help one another. You know, fix the fence, fix the leaky pipes for your neighbor. Talents to help a friend out with schoolwork or to cook a meal for someone who's struggling. The margin we gain from Sabbath frees us to be generous with our treasures. Treasures to help someone who needs a little boost. Treasures to help to support the work of a charity. Treasures to help increase the work of the local church. Again, the big idea for today, as a reminder, is this. Is that Sabbath produces generosity, not laziness. So the invitation is simple. To receive today's bread with gratitude. To release tomorrow's seed with faith. And to step into Sabbath, not as an obligation, but as a way of living well. So give yourself margin. You know, margin that would enable you to be joyfully generous, to joyfully serve the Lord in different capacities, to find rest and renewal, not by being lazy. Can you stand with me? Question I want you to reflect on is, what have you been doing for Sabbath? And what has Sabbath done for you? See, Sabbath is not just rest. It's not just a break when you feel like it, but a condition of being a follower of Jesus. As the worship team leads us into our response time, I just want to ask, I challenge you guys to consider that. But as well, you know, we're going to have the prayer team come forward too. If there are also other needs that you need prayer for, we want to pray for you. You can approach one of our prayer people when they come up, and we'll gladly pray for you. But as we head into this last song, we just invite you into a time of reflection.